Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, and we would love to hear from you right now. The toll-free number is open right now at 844-322-2742. Again, that's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Boy, we're on the eve of a day of history tomorrow.
Absolutely.
As we inaugurate our 45th president of the United States of America. It's hard to believe that in our 200-plus year history, there's only been 45 presidents.
Yeah.
But that's the way it is. And, you know, America stands head and shoulders above every other country, you know, in this one activity, mm-hmm. the peaceful transfer of power. You don't see it like this anywhere else.
No.
And I think that is just one of the most miraculous things about being a citizen of the United States of America, that we can have differences and we can vote for a guy that has this as his platform, and then 4 years later vote for somebody that has a completely different platform.
Yeah.
But as those two move, you know, as the old one goes away and the new one comes in, there's a peaceful transfer of power.
Right.
And it's just miraculous to see. And that's one of the reasons I love to watch the inauguration, just for that purpose alone, because Obama and Michelle are going to be there to witness this. The outgoing administration welcoming the new administration into power.
Yeah.
I think of George Bush Sr., who's written letters to Trump and welcoming him into the office and those sort of things. It's just an amazing thing to witness, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And it's kind of funny what our sports station says, calls him, it's Trump's. But you're right. It's the only we're the only country in the world that has this particular system. And it has worked now for, what, 200 and whatever number
yes.
of years it is.
Yes,
it,
absolutely. Our forefathers who put all this into place, you just see the brilliance and wisdom
yeah.
of how they structured this republic in which we live. And I think that's important for us to recognize that we're not a democracy, we're a republic, aren't we?
Exactly.
And,
exactly
right. you know, many folks have questioned the way the election took place, the fact that Clinton won the popular vote, yet Trump won the Electoral College. Well, that's the way they put it, so that, you know, a 51% majority couldn't rule by mob rule.
Yeah, so that the various coasts could not
right.
dominate the electoral
absolutely.
System.
So there was a brilliance and a wisdom
yeah.
in all of that. And so it'll be wonderful to witness again our republic on full display and the way the founding fathers envisioned it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And as that happens, I thought we would take today and remind us as believers in Christ what our role in all of this really is. You know, a lot of times we abdicate our role and try to do other things that I believe are less important. And here's what Paul wrote to Timothy. I said, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. So what are we called to do as believers in Christ? We are to pray for those who are in authority. Why? So that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. So as we pray for those who are in office, instead of always bad-mouthing, always criticizing, always pointing the finger, always trying to tear down, always trying to point out flaws and those sort of things, as we pray, it changes the way we perceive those who are in office, and we can become part of solutions that are needed out there instead of just those monitors. Have you seen that commercial where, you know, there's a bank robber going on and there's a security guard and he's saying, hey, there's a bank robber going on. And the folks are looking up and saying, well, aren't you going to do something? He said, well, no, I'm just a security monitor. Yeah. I don't actually do anything.
Not my job.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot of Christians out there who play that role. We're monitors. We just point out stuff.
Yeah.
But if we'll really earnestly pray, prayers, intercession, with hearts filled with gratitude and thanksgiving, I think then we can be a part of the solution instead of just pointing out the problem. And Paul goes on to say, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. So what is God's ultimate purpose, his ultimate will in this world today, is that people out there come to a knowledge of the truth. He wants them to be saved. And that's our role, is to represent the kingdom of heaven. We are citizens of heaven. That's what Paul wrote to the Philippians, that our citizenship is in heaven. Well, we don't live up there now. We're down here, aren't we?
Right.
And our role is to simply represent heavenly realities down here in this world, to be ambassadors, as Paul wrote to the Corinthians. That's our job.
Yeah.
And to share with the people of this world what the will of God is on their behalf, and it's that they be saved and that they come to a knowledge of the truth.
Yes.
So, folks, as believers in Christ, as tomorrow rolls around and we see the inauguration of Donald Trump as our 45th president, let's enter tomorrow with hearts filled with prayer, with gratitude, with thanksgiving for this great country in which we live, for the opportunities that God is going to be opening to us to share the good news about Jesus Christ, so that the will of God can take place right here on our shores, on this great land of ours. People can come to know the truth and be saved, just like we have come to know the truth.
Yes.
And have been saved through faith in Jesus Christ.
Well said, Bob. Thank you. And friends, you've tuned to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you've joined us. We can open up the phone lines right now at 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you. We'd like to have you add to the conversation. Again, 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. And you know, friends, all month we've been offering a copy of Bob Christopher's excellent book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, to everyone who steps up to help Basic Gospel keep the message going. Grace, you know, is so much more than just God's unmerited favor toward us. Simple Gospel, Simply Grace will show you the way to enter into grace that God has lavished on us through Jesus Christ. So don't miss this opportunity. Get your copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace when you click donate at basicgospel.net. Just make that donation at basicgospel.net and request your copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Well, overnight system was active, as we told you yesterday it would be, and it's available 24 hours a day at 844-322-2742 or at basicgospel.net/ask. There you can pose your question in your own voice, or you can type your question, and we'll be glad to answer it. Now, Lynn from Payette, Idaho, took advantage of one of these systems overnight. Let's listen to that call right now.
Yes, hi. This is Lynn from Payette, Idaho. If you would have a chance to speak a little bit about the predestination. I've known you've done that before, but I just listened to a program again, and it was emphasized so strong that predestination is God's will, God's way, and much we can do about it. If you could give some thought on that, I would sure appreciate it. God bless. I appreciate your program very much.
Not much we can do about God's will. You
know? That's right. That's right. Well, Lynn, you ask a very important question. And does God go around and he picks some for salvation and then others for damnation? Well, that's certainly a belief system that's out there. And we see that in the Reformed theology, what we would call Calvinism. And that's very prevalent and has been a prevalent way of believing for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. I think it misses the point of what Scripture is really trying to tell us. And as far as God's predestination is concerned, he chose a people. You know, he chose Abram, who became Abraham. Now, there was no reason that God chose Abram. I mean, he wasn't one of these holy, righteous guys, and God said, wow, I've got to get him on my team type of thing. God just chose him, and he gave him a promise. So that was God's choosing. And Abraham went along with that and said, you know, I believe you on this. And so out of Abram came Isaac. He was the son of promise, and God gave the same promise to Isaac that through him the world is going to be blessed. And then from Isaac came Jacob, and then out of Jacob came the 12, one of whom was Judah, and out of Judah came Christ, and through Christ the world is going to be blessed. So God chose a particular group of people,
right,
to be the carrier of that bloodline, through whom that seed would come, Jesus Christ himself. Now, man had no part in that. Man didn't play any role in that other than they went along. God chose, and this is what happened. So Israel or the Jewish people would say, we are God's chosen people. We're for a purpose. They were chosen for a purpose. Now, God had always had in mind that all people would have the opportunity to be saved,
right,
Jew and Gentile, that it wasn't just a Jewish proposition. So God was going to bless all nations through Jesus Christ himself. So anyone, whether Jew or Gentile, who comes to know Christ, who confesses with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and believes in their heart that God raised him from the dead, will be saved. So that's what God predestined. He predestined that the Jewish people would be the bloodline of the Messiah, but he predestined that in Messiah, in Christ, all can be saved, both Jew and Gentile. Well, that was a foreign concept to the Jewish mind. That's not something that they fully believed. Yet, that has been the case since the very beginning. God has always had in mind all people. So when this topic of predestination is talked about in the New Testament, Romans 9, 10, and 11, for example, Ephesians chapters 1, 2, and 3, we see this topic is talked about not in terms of individuals, but in terms of people groups, Jew and Gentile, that God had predestined that the Gentile would be saved in exactly the same way that the Jew would,
yeah,
and that the two would become one man in Christ. And we see that time and time again. Paul starts Romans 9. He said, you know, I want to talk about my Jewish brothers. God hasn't abandoned them.
Yeah.
He has a plan for them. But it's not just about Jews being saved. It's about Gentiles being saved. And so he leads us down to Romans 10, and he says, anyone, whether Jew or Gentile, who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So what is God predestined? That both Jew and Gentile would be saved in exactly the same way. Now, we have nothing to do with that. We may offer up to God all kinds of other ways to be saved, but God says, no, I've chosen one way, and that is by grace through faith in Jesus. That has been predestined. There is no other name under heaven by which men can be saved. There's no other way under heaven by which men can be saved other than by grace through faith in Jesus.
Yeah.
That's been predestined, but it's for all people, both Jew and Gentile. So let's not think of it in terms of individuals. Let's think of it in terms of people groups.
Yeah.
And then to those who come to know Christ, there are things that God has predestined about them. that they have been predestined to sonship. They are adopted into the family of God, and they are predestined to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. So those things are God's choosing.
Yeah.
And so once we're in Christ, guess what God is going to be doing in our lives? Conforming us to the image of his Son. Why? Because that's what he said he would do. What else? He's going to make us children of God. He's going to adopt us into his family. We're going to be heirs along with Jesus Christ.
Right.
And we will have an eternal inheritance. That's been predestined. And no one can take that away from us. Why? Because God has declared it to be so. So predestination, it's for Jew and Gentile to be saved in exactly the same way by grace through faith in Jesus. We've been predestined to be adopted as sons and to be conformed to the image of Christ Jesus.
And that is good news. And Lynn, hope you're listening and hope that's a help and encouragement to you. Friends, keep in mind that because of what you do, we at Basic Gospel are able to reach out to people across North America and beyond with the good news of Jesus Christ. You're very much appreciated, and this month we're making Bob's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, available to all of you who help us keep the message going with a donation to Basic Gospel. Just click Donate at BasicGospel.net and request your copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Again, that's Donate at BasicGospel.net. Open lines, 844-322-2742. We want to hear from you.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Fort Worth, Texas, and talk with Daniel listening to us on The Word today. Hi, Daniel.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing well. What's on your mind today?
Well, I just got, thankfully, I was able to jump in on the program today. I haven't been able to listen to you guys. I love you guys and always respect your input and your word. So I figured I'd bring this to your attention, even though it's kind of off subject. It's a question I have, and it does kind of collaborate with what you're talking about, being an ambassador of Christ, and, you know, just loving, but also empowering with the book, not just loving for every reason, but love the way God wants you to love. You know, my question is today that tithing, and it's something that's been weighing heavy on me, and I do tithe all the time at church. I do. It's something I've done. It's not because I have to, but it's because I want to. I want to be able to give back, and I know that nothing I have to offer will ever be able to buy God's love, but it's there. So my question is, say you tithe whichever way, before or after taxes, however you decide to do it in your household. Say you purchase something, okay? You've already tithed off that money, but you decide that you're going to sell this item. Is it biblically correct that you should tithe off the money that comes in after that? Or has it already been tithed on?
Well, Daniel, that's why we really need to talk about giving from a stewardship standpoint and a grace of giving standpoint instead of a tithing standpoint. Because when you mention the word tithing, what comes to mind is kind of the Old Testament obligation for the people of Israel to bring their tithe into the storehouse. Now, that wasn't a free will offering. That was something that they were obligated to do. Why? Because in bringing those food substances, and that's what they were, food substances, grain, it was cattle, it was sheep, goats, all of those sort of things, they would bring those to the storehouse, and that supply of cattle and grain and food substances supported the Levitical priesthood. That became their groceries for the month, so to speak. And it also provided what was necessary for the religious life of the people. Those grains became grain offerings in many cases. Some of the cattle were offered up as sacrifices. So those things were obligated by God for the people of Israel to do. So now we bring that thinking over into this new covenant in which we live today. And that forces us to ask those kind of questions. You know, do I tithe off of gross or net? And then do I tithe off those things I sell and those sort of things? And I think we need to kind of put that aside and really take a look at what Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. And he says that we are to excel in the grace of giving. And as you read through these two chapters, Daniel, you'll never see Paul ever mention a percentage that you need to give. He just takes that out of the equation, and he simply says that allow the grace of God working in your heart to move you to give as you see fit. Give generously, give cheerfully, give without compulsion, and in that very act of giving, you will experience joy. That's what the grace of giving is all about. So if you sell something and there's, you know, at the same time you sell something, you see a pressing need that you would like to help meet, you say, Lord Jesus, thank you for providing this extra money so that I can use it to help meet this need, or I can use it to help advance the gospel. And then there's great joy in that. But if you say, oh my goodness, I've sold something, now I'm going to have to give, you've just robbed yourself of the joy, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You have to do it with an open heart.
Yeah. That's exactly right. So God so loved that he gave. Guess who's alive living in you, Daniel?
Lord.
The Lord. He's a giver. And guess what he's going to be working inside of you? That desire to give. Obviously, you already have that. Isn't that great news? You already have that. So I would just say, if you want to give 10%, if you wanted to give 15%, that's between you and the Lord, isn't it?
Yeah. And I will honestly say that in my tithing, I found that just out of 10%, that's what I normally do. I guess it's kind of put into us that way. But when I tithe, I don't know how it happens, but the Lord, the key factor there, always seems to make a way, because when I look at my tithes at the end of the year, I'll be like, I have no idea how I was able to do this, but thank the Lord he made it happen.
Yeah, and you know, that's the thing. We get a little selfish, don't we? We mm-hmm. think, well, if I give this much, whatever that amount is, you know, how am I going to live off the rest of it? Well, you'll find a way, I guarantee you. That's part of the wisdom that he gives us. That's part of, you know, just realizing that life isn't in all of those things, that life really is in trusting the Lord Jesus. And
right.
I believe this very strongly, that to order our months, I think the first thing to do, and Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians 16, at the first of the week, gather up, money so that you can put that aside to give to advance the good news of Jesus Christ. And I think when we do that first, there's something that happens inside of us. All of those things we thought we desperately wanted or needed or had to have, it seems like those thoughts and desires just kind of disappear. And we can become really content just with what the Lord has provided. So I think we can stretch ourselves and realize that God is going to take care of us. We really, really can trust him with our giving, can't we?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Well, let me do this for you, Daniel. We have a wonderful little booklet called New Covenant Giving. Would love to put that in your hands, and I think it'll be a big help to you. We'll help answer some of these questions. So let me put you on hold, and I'll send it your way. Okay, my friend?
All right, I appreciate it. God bless you guys always.
Thanks,
hey,
Daniel.
Thanks, Daniel. Thanks
appreciate
for your great question today. We sure appreciate it.
We certainly do. We love hearing from you, our listeners, and we understand that many of you can't get to us while we're actually on the air live at the 3 o'clock Central Time hour every day. But if you have a question you'd like us to answer, you can go to basicgospel.net/ask, and you can post your question there in your own voice, or you can type your question. We'll be glad to answer it. Otherwise, you can call the same number, 844-322-2742, anytime, day or night, and post your question, as Lynn did from Bayetta, Idaho, just that you heard just earlier on the program. program. Keep in mind also that we have Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, Bob's wonderful book on the subject of grace, available to you for your donation to basicgospel.net. To request your copy and make your donation, simply visit basicgospel.net and click donate. Well, that's it for this edition, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Now for Bob and Richard and the ministry team, Bob Davis inviting you to be with us again for the study edition tomorrow. Bye-bye.